Welcome to the Perspectives on Healthcare podcast, where members of the medical community from different roles, venues, and locations share their unique perspectives on quality healthcare, its future, and how to improve it. Now, from the Your Keynote Speaker studio in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, here is your host, Rob Oliver.
Thank you for being with me today. I appreciate you coming to hear another perspective on healthcare. The perspective today comes from Patricia Bowden Lucardi. She is a member of the baby boomer generation. She is located in New York, and she is a thermographer. She has a thermography practice. So, Patricia, welcome.
Thank you. So you had to identify me as a baby boomer, so you know that I'm older.
So
taking care of my health, that's what I do.
So here's the situation, and that is, on the show, we're looking at various levels of diversity. And one is, what is your role? What is your area of experience? What is your geographic location? And what's your age? Because I think it's important to understand that baby boomers may look at things a little bit different than millennials. So let's jump right into this. Tell me about yourself and your role in healthcare.
I have a thermography practice, and that's infrared. It's thermal imaging, and we think of it to be used for women's breasts to be able to screen for breast cancer, but it's so much more than that. You can do the entire body. Prior to doing this 10 years ago, I was at a place called Canyon Ranch Medical Spa up in Lenox, Mass., and I was a neuromuscular therapist and a breath educator. And prior to that, I had been a product educator for several nutraceutical companies and a protocol formulator. So I've been in health, functional medicine. I say functional medicine, food is medicine, food state nutrients for close to 25 years. So I have a passion about natural health, the food state nutrients that comes from the life force that comes from plants. And my role in thermography is screening women. Prior thermography can detect breast cancer years before conventional screening because it's a study of heat as opposed to anatomy. And what my passion and has been over the last, I'd say, 5 years is what I'm seeing in thermography is an increase in estrogens. And in thermography, one of the screenings looks like a black and white photograph, and estrogen will come up looking like leopard spots. It's hard to imagine unless you've seen it, but I'm seeing it in men, I'm seeing it in teenagers, and it's coming from a lot of the outside estrogens that are environmental estrogens that are from plastics, bisphenol A's, outgassing of carpets, and all the toxins that are out there that are endocrine disruptors. So actually, my last three case studies have been young men growing breast. And I put them on a protocol that's natural. And 6 months later, we're seeing a huge difference in the estrogen being metabolized. So that's presently where my passion lies.
Okay. So tell me then, what does quality healthcare mean to you?
Quality healthcare is based on health. It's not based on illness. It's not based on over-treatment. It's not based on over-biopsied, over-radiated, over-medicated. It's finding an overall view of where the health of a person is, whether that's through blood work, through thermography, and balancing the health and staying healthy. I would think, because of where we are in our world, that there's so much toxicity out there, that the first thing we have to look at is detoxing, constantly detoxing. In Chinese medicine, you know, they say it's an excess or deficiency. Of course, there's more to that, but we live in an excess of toxins, and we live in a time of deficiencies. So we have to be able to balance that, detox the body, and make sure that we are complete in our nutrients. I mean, vitamin D across the, they're starting to recognize this around the world, that vitamin D plays a crucial part to our health. And so that's it, deficiencies and detoxing.
Okay, so you said there at the beginning that it's about health and not about illness. Can you expand on that a little bit more? Because that's a different concept.
Well, okay, if you the questions that you gave me on what's the what I think is the status of American healthcare, it's based on an illness pattern. It's based on an illness, a sickness model. It's not based on wellness. So if we look at wellness being that people stay healthy, they're given incentives to be healthy, not just exercise, but through their blood work, through their diet. And it's just, we know that there's a lot of great doctors out there, but it's all based on giving somebody a pill. I'm not in the pill generation.
Okay.
I'm in the nutrient generation. I'm in the CSA buying my food from an organic farmer. I'm in the detoxing. I'm promoting women's health. And I will say, the women coming to me are thinking out of the box. And I will say I work with a pretty healthy group of women, but again, we're seeing this increase in estrogens
Okay.
that's coming from toxins.
Got it. Oh, so CSA stands for.
CSA, what does that stand for? It's a shared when you go to a farmer and you get so much produce a week. What does
Okay,
that stand for?
it's
CSA.
kind of like crop sharing agreement, something like that.
Something like, yes, that's I never knew what that meant. Yes, thank you.
No problem. I was just trying to. Sometimes we all swim in alphabet soup, and I'm trying to make sure that
Yes,
we.
that's right.
No problem.
Yeah,
So,
know your local farmer.
excellent. So, you started in with this, but can you give me an example of quality healthcare?
Quality healthcare. Okay. Quality healthcare would be going to a doctor or a health practitioner that is affordable, and being able to get the blood work or the test needed for whatever their symptoms are. Again, the word is affordability because healthcare is a human right. And in holistic health, many doctors don't take health insurance. I've had some say it's for ethical reasons because they really can't they can't really treat the way they want to. But there's a we all need to make a living, and I think it's great that doctors and people can charge, but I've seen a lot of price gouging going on in this industry. And it's taking people to the cleaners, particularly if they're sick. I mean, they're emptying their 401k, they're selling their houses, they're, I had one man that sold his car. That was the only way he could get to work. He had to sell his truck. So I think healthcare should be affordable. Should absolutely be affordable.
All right, a very valid point. And your statement from your perspective is that healthcare is a human right. It's something that we all deserve. So that's a very powerful perspective to have. What do you wish people understood about your role in healthcare?
Role in healthcare. That women, well, let me just preface this. I started seeing a pattern doing thermography over the last 10 years, and it prompted me to write a book because I started seeing women that were coming in with the same patterns, dense breast, fibrocystic breast. They were over-radiated, they were over-treated, they were over-biopsied. And I was like, wait a minute, I'm starting to see a pattern here. This is a business, this is an industry. So women that have dense breasts, that's 49% of the population, they are being over-mammogrammed, they're being over-biopsied, and they're being told to come back every year for a mammogram when it clearly states that the sensitivity is as low as 28%. It's been shown that thermography, because it's a study of heat, they're not looking at anatomy. So women with dense breasts, the connective tissue is white, and so is a tumor. So they can't find it on a mammogram. So that leads to a lot of overdiagnosis. So I would like women, excuse me, to know that thermography is available for breast cancer screening. It used to be covered by insurance until I think 1986, 87, and basically the mammography lobby took it out. But there's over 800 studies on the Index Medicus, so it's not. It's not woo-woo science. It's been around for a long time. It's used in espionage, by the military. And we're one of the few countries that are not using that. So it could actually change the face of women's breast health if they had an early screening that could be detected years before it could turn into an anatomy, and then it has to be treated.
Okay, so can you help folks understand? There are people who kind of feel like, okay, this is, as you said, woo-woo science. Can you talk a little bit more in kind of dispelling that myth, please?
Okay, thermography is a study of heat, excuse me. I'm sorry, it's a study of heat. When the body is unclothed for whatever part we're going to image, and the person acclimates to the room temperature, and after 15 minutes, the body gives off infrared information. Just like X-rays, we give off infrared. And the camera is picking up this heat, they're picking up the heat signatures. After COVID started, the cameras that I work with, ICI, they're being made all over the world now. They're being sent to all the cruise ships. The military's been using thermography for a long time. Anything that's alive has heat. So the signature of cancer is hot. So the camera is just a thermometer being pointed at the body. So if there's a lack of heat, say in the carotid artery, it would read cold. So they can detect cold or hot. So it's just a study of heat. So cancer is hot if it's a lump, bump, or a cyst, and it's cold, it's benign. So that could cut out 80% of biopsies. So not to say that mammograms are wrong, because they've certainly saved a lot of women's lives, but that's the only choice they've been given. So if we go back to using thermography with ultrasound, it's environmentally safe, and it would change women's health care or breast care,
Okay.
breast health.
Wonderful. Well, I appreciate you explaining that. What excites you about the future of healthcare?
Oh boy, I talked to a couple of pharmaceutical protocol formulators in New York City, and I talked to we were at a party the other day, and there was a compounding pharmacist and a woman who works in energy medicine. I think, and we all feel, that the future of medicine is going to be energy medicine. I mean, they already have the Tesla med beds, excuse me, a lot of these Tesla machines that work on frequency. Let's say, for instance, cancer and parasites has a very low frequency, and they can actually change that frequency. Now, these are just the beginning. I know in France and Germany, they have some machines that cost up to $80,000. The ones that I was just looking at were like 15, 20,000. But this is just the beginning. We know this is just the beginning of shifting, because we're energy beings. We're frequency beings. We're not just this lump of flesh. There's so much more to us. And we know now, through heart math, the toroidal field of our being, that we're these energy beings, and changing these frequencies can change our health.
Okay.
But again, it's unaffordable health care, because it's for those who can afford it.
So I'm obviously assuming that that type of thing is not covered by insurance, and as such, it's differentiated where you only the, as you said, the folks that can afford to pay out of pocket for that are the ones that have access to
Yes.
it. Is that
Yes.
accurate?
It's nothing. Listen, in holistic medicine, it is rare to find a doctor that's going to accept insurance.
Okay.
It's just the way it is.
Just from your perspective, how can that be addressed to make holistic medicine more accessible to the general population?
Get rid of insurance companies.
There you go. A much simpler solution than I was expecting, but
That's right. It's a middleman.
yeah, got it. What is one thing medical professionals can start doing today to improve the quality of healthcare?
See the person as a whole person, and not just a leg, an arm, an ear. Look at the mind, body, spirit of a person. Look at everything as a whole, and listen. In healthcare, particularly in the ones that are taking insurance, if a person could be heard for 90 seconds, that's a minute and a half, that's mindful listening, they feel like they've been heard. How much time do you get to talk to your doctor? I give everybody an hour. They have to tell their story. Can't just be, oh, that's your symptom. We're just going to treat this, treat that, treat the symptom. You have to listen to the whole person. You have to listen to their story. Everybody's got a story. And a lot of people, I'd say most people, kind of know where their health is because they're intuitive. Listen to their own intuition. Give that person space to talk.
So what you're talking about is giving the patient an opportunity to fully share what's going on with them, even if it's just in 90 seconds. Because here's what I'm thinking. A lot of doctors are conscribed by time, that their appointments are only 15 minutes long, and as such, you've got to handle so many patients over the course of a day. But what you're saying, 90 seconds doesn't seem like an overbearing part or an overwhelming part of that 15-minute window. Is that accurate for you?
Well, yes, I actually took a course in mindful listening. They said if you could speak for 90 seconds without being interrupted, then a person could be heard without the interruption. But I don't want to go down that rabbit hole of that 15 minutes because listen, I've had these doctors. I had a doctor share with me the other day. He said, he no longer takes insurance. He gives everybody an hour. He said the nurses, they take the blood, they take the blood pressure, they do this, they weigh you. And then they write down all the symptoms. The doctor comes in and says, oh, these are the symptoms. Oh, here's the pills. There's your 15 minutes right there. That is not healthcare. That's just band-aids with pharmaceutical drugs.
Hey, listen, I hear what you're saying, and I think that it's definitely a commentary on the way that healthcare is handled today. So, hey, Patricia Bowden-Lucardi, I appreciate you being here today, and I value your perspective on healthcare.
Thanks for listening to Perspectives on Healthcare. Visit perspectivesonhealthcare.com to learn more about Rob Oliver or to subscribe so you never miss an episode. If this podcast was valuable, we'd appreciate a review on iTunes. Or if you tell a friend or coworker about the show, that would be helpful too. Join us again next time for more Perspectives on Healthcare.